Nothing quite says America is here than the profile of an aircraft carrier. But technologies under development around the world threaten to render carriers into sitting ducks. China, Russia, and Iran, all working on the so-called anti-access and aerial denial capabilities and missile systems aimed at neutralizing U.S. carriers. That's according to a new study by the Center for New American Security. For details, I spoke to principal author Kelly Saylor.
What we're seeing is a proliferation, first of all, of anti-access area denial capabilities. So things like advanced air defense systems, long-range anti-ship cruise and ballistic missiles, and submarines that are really increasingly threatening to U.S. aircraft carriers. And at the same time that we're seeing the proliferation of those systems horizontally in terms of having more countries having access to these types of capabilities, we're also seeing a vertical proliferation where we're seeing countries procure more and more of these systems. And that's concerning because not only are some of these A2AD capabilities increasing in range and precision, but because countries are procuring so many of them, they're really changing the way that A2AD capabilities could be deployed. So, for example, a country like China is procuring a large number of missiles, and those could be used to really overwhelm U.S. defense systems and particularly constrain the operations of the carrier.
So they could swarm some type of asset against a carrier that would just be more than it could respond to with everybody on deck.
Yes, that's correct. I think in the event of a conflict, an adversary would be highly likely to use a large number of these systems because that would enable them to overwhelm U.S. defense systems. U.S. defense systems are quite good. They're very sophisticated, but they're not going to be able to handle a mass attack against the carrier.
Does this mitigate in favor of better defenses for carriers or finding something else besides the aircraft carrier for the future as a way to project power?
There are technologies like railguns that could certainly improve carrier defense systems and help them to defend against a missile salvo. But as an alternative, I think we could see investments shift slightly at least to more unmanned systems that are capable of operating at longer ranges. So, for example, right now the carrier air wing is relatively limited in range, at least compared to historical standards. But there are systems like the Navy's X-47B technology demonstrator program that are capable of operating at much longer ranges than some of our manned systems. We could also see a shift to undersea assets that are going to be less vulnerable to these kinds of capabilities.
Because carriers are expensive, and they're expensive to maintain and operate as well as build, and we've got about 10 of them operating now, correct?
That's correct. They are extremely expensive assets. They're around $13 billion for the carrier itself, and that's not including the cost of the carrier air wing. Obviously, many of the assets that go on the carrier are very expensive in their own right. Certainly, that's going to be part of the calculus.
Plus, a carrier is in the middle of a big group of ships, so really the total value of it is much higher than the carrier itself. Maybe people are looking at the affordability of this as they're also looking at the defensiveness of it?
I think that's true, yes. I think in terms of vulnerability to some of these A2AD systems, particularly the long-range anti-ship missiles, the carrier is going to be the biggest target simply because it is the largest and therefore it's going to be the easiest to hit. But some of the other surface vessels are certainly going to be vulnerable. And as you point out, the carrier doesn't operate on its own. So that is also contributing to the calculus.
We're speaking with Kelly Saylor, Associate Fellow at the Center for a New American Security. So the question is, why then are places like China deciding to invest in carriers of their own if it's becoming maybe a 20th century type of technology?
Part of the reason that they're interested in investing in carriers is because it is a prestige asset. It signals to the rest of the world that you have arrived on the scene and that you're operating a potent and respectable military. I think they're also interested simply in the same reason that the United States and other countries have carriers, which is that it is a significant power projection asset. If you're not involved in a conflict, it certainly is a demonstration of presence and of power, and I think that's something that's very attractive to them.
What's the best and most promising asset that the United States have that can counter this A2AD capability coming from the other side?
I think there there are some interesting emerging technologies that could help contribute to U.S. defense systems. I think the most promising and certainly the closest to becoming operational is the railgun, and that's something that the U.S. Navy is working on. They are actually testing a prototype of that system currently. There are also some technologies like directed energy that are quite attractive, but significantly further behind in terms of development and potential to actually become operational at any point in the near future.
And a railgun is what exactly?
So it's essentially going to use a very high-powered, high-speed projectile in order to shoot the projectile at an incoming target. So what another thing that it does that I think is quite important to note is that it's going to significantly reduce the cost of defense. The cost of using a railgun per shot is substantially less than the cost of using a missile to defend the carrier. And so when you think of a potential strategy that an adversary might use in the event of a conflict, I think you're certainly looking at a massive salvo of missiles. And that is to destroy the carrier. Part of that could be used as part of a cost and position strategy where really the cost of an adversary anti-ship missile would be substantially lower than the cost of a U.S. interceptor. And so the strategy would be to try to get the United States to expend a large number of interceptors, to expend a large number of resources, and to try to achieve victory that way.
Now, a railgun fires something, I guess, 7 times the speed of sound, and just the impact itself will blow up something. You don't need ordnance on it. But the question is power. Electrical power aboard the ships, is that the limiting factor here to get this technology up and running?
That's certainly a very large factor. That's really the biggest factor in terms of some of the emerging technologies that I've noted. That's a huge factor with the directed energy defense.
These are all quite a ways off at this point.
I think we're much closer to seeing the railgun become operational simply because it's a system that the Navy is already deploying and testing.